Rotzach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What's the prime time, bitch?
Good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. There we go. Now we can all talk.
Feels good to be here.
It is. It's nice. It's finally a nice, cold, crisp October morning.
It's not like Florida where it's raining and humid.
Oh, yeah. It's been raining all month. Finally can get into the brutal Halloween spirit.
The fall spirit.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. We are now officially, as you can see, if you try to tune in last week, we are every other week now, every other Sunday, due to some one of us no longer living in the States.
Hot Tuckett's own son.
Exactly. Move down, seeing off the Paw Sox, get out of my
state. Clams, getting the Paw Sox out of there. Going to be rooting for a new, like, professional women's softball team, whatever they put in that stadium. It's going
to
be great.
That is going to be interesting to see what they do with it. But
I think you should be campaigning for stuff like that.
Speaking of baseball, I was very, very pleased
great
with
game
last night's
night
result.
For the boys. My dad was going to probably throw a brick through the TV. It was bad game. I think bad officiating, too. I remember I was watching it, and then, like, they came back from the inning break, and they're like, Alex Cora's been ejected. I'm like, yeah, rightfully so. I mean, this is some pretty bad calls. But, like, we were just talking about Darnley. Like, Houston's a good team. You know, like, they only let up 5 hits, and they scored 7 runs, so... That's how it goes. Jose Altuve also added to short guy superstars of all time to the list of short athletes.
That team is so good. I would love a Houston-Milwaukee World Series.
That would be interesting. I mean, obviously I want the Red Sox to get there, but yeah, I guess I'd say okay.
I was watching the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
I know nobody on either team.
I know. Well, they're all 22 years old.
Other than that, I don't know nobody.
And by the way, the big news in baseball this week
was
Kevin Cash was extended through 2024.
Oh, baby.
He should be manager of the year, but he's going to get robbed by some jamoke in Oakland.
Probably right.
All right, so if you want to call in here.
Oakland Yankees thing from last, I guess, a week or so?
The wild card game?
Yeah, no, not the game itself, but that like side story of like the Yankees fans throwing beer on that kid from Oakland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they found him after the game
and took him
out for drinks and took him out to a nightclub and stuff. I thought it was great.
There was actually some local radio a viral clip about Yankees fans.
Really?
Yeah, about the what'd you say, the demographic in the stadium.
Really?
Did you see that?
No.
All right, we can talk about that off air. We're not going to plug other shows. But anyway, if you want to call in, have any other hot sports takes you want to share.
Gross.
Numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264.
Except for the kid Yankees fan I respect because he's still mad at the Red Sox.
Yeah, I love it. Still in all caps. Still room for them to lose.
Yeah.
All right, let's play some new music. We're going to we'll kind of ease into the holiday spirit with some stoner for you.
Okay, so good.
Some slow paced stuff.
Not this is Halloween.
And, exactly. Not quite yet. We're not quite yet. We have we're going to be, our next show will be just days before Halloween.
Sure.
So. All right, let's get things started out with some new Cortez. This was released back in September, a couple weeks ago on the 21st. It is called The Firmament and is off, I believe, a compilation album called The Second Coming of Heavy, Chapter 9. It's off of Ripple Music, and this is by Cortez. Again, this is The Firmament, and you're listening to Booger Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Black and cold, far beyond. welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Good morning. October 7th to the 14th, This Week in Metal History. First of all, the most metal video game ever created.
Super Mario is back. He's blasting worlds where no one has ever been. He's taking on enemies no one else.
Snakes? Storm mushrooms?
Mario pops up power wherever he goes. So
Super Mario Brothers 2 came out 30 years ago. This week.
This is a video game? That was like a video game trailer?
That was a video game commercial. So, like, this is the Play It Loud era of Nintendo, where they're trying to be like, they're trying to harness the X Games spirit of the late 80s. The reason I play that is because it's often shown to me by villains such as Kevin Werner, who say that Mario is pronounced Mario officially, and in the commercial, they refer to Mario as Mario, which is disgusting. Because I feel like that's incorrect.
That's not just his Philly accent. That was actually how he thinks it's pronounced.
That's how they just pronounce it. That's how Nintendo.
That's why Werner says it that way.
Yeah, Mario. But an interesting. I feel like there's a cultural split. Like I feel like Hispanic cultures, if your name's Mario, they'd call you Mario. But I feel like if you're Italian, your name is Mario, and he is an Italian plumber. Also, 30 years ago this week, Freddy's Nightmares. Matt, you ever hear of Freddy's Nightmares?
I have. That's the TV show, right?
TV show. That's pretty bad, and literally every single episode is on YouTube. It ran from 88 to 90. It's basically like Tales from the Crypt with Freddy as the Crypt Keeper.
Okay. So was he in the shorts, or was it like...
Be in the shorts.
Okay.
But most of the time, no. Like, most of the time, it was just like... Here's a ghoulish thing to think about today.
So it wasn't the same, wasn't it completely the same as the Friday the 13th situation where it was just no Jason whatsoever?
There was no Freddy whatsoever in a lot of the episodes, okay. But he would introduce it like, here's an interesting story, bitch. Like stuff like that. Except for the first episode, which was directed by Toby Hooper, which actually did focus on like Freddy Krueger, the janitor, being caught by the parents of Springdale and murdered and so forth and so on. And
Springwood.
Pretty good because Toby Hooper is a pretty good director for horror things. October 7th, 1986, Slayer released Rain in Blood. This is Tori Amos' cover of Rain in Blood,
nice.
Which I always think is very funny.
So basically this is when they released their one song.
That I'll every disagree other song with that. Hell Awaits is pretty good.
I'm just saying that it's like Mumford and Sons. It's like they release a new track and like, oh, it's Raining in Blood again.
Yeah, kind of. Hey, man.
Yes, I just compared Slayer to Mumford and Sons.
Don't mess with success. Speaking of Mumford and Sons, October 8th, 1988, Bathory releases Bloodfire Death. I'm still mad that my Bathory shirt smelled like pickles and then shrunk two sizes immediately. I feel like that's the curse of... not novelty t-shirts, but like band and wrestling t-shirts of a certain quality.
Yeah.
They smell like pickles, or vinegar, really, I guess I should say. And then they just shrink immediately.
Where'd you get it?
I got that at rockabilia.com.
Okay, yeah. I feel like that's what I tried to get. If you get direct, at least from bands, if you get direct from bands, they seem to hold up pretty good.
I mean,
wrestling, they're better quality shirts than wrestling shirts. I've had... like wrestling shirts that are just crooked, like the screen print.
It came on wrong?
Yeah.
The best wrestling shirts to me were always the Chikara shirts. I always thought that those guys did a good job. Like,
see, I always thought like Chikara's own were.
Yeah.
Because they put more focus on that.
Fair.
But the individual wrestlers can be hit or miss.
True. I mean, I had that Devastation Corporation shirt for years.
That's true.
It was a great shirt.
The Vader Scott one holds up. Ultra Mantis is not quite.
His is falling apart a little bit. Hey, that's how it goes. Anyway, Bathory slaps... it was in the running for Black Metal Song of the Week, but I don't know. It's going to go a little different this week.
Ooh.
October 8th, 1991, Gorguts released the album Considered Dead.
Matt, you're, of course, famous for the
Gorguts.
The Gorguts video reviews.
Yes. Cookie Monster shows up on that track, obviously. Cannibal Corpse singer on that track. Speaking of geniuses, October 9th, 2000, Hammerfall releases the album Renegade. I recommend the video, obviously, as I mostly do with Hammerfall because it's produced incredibly. This is for the song Renegade, so is a man on a motorcycle riding in the darkness with his best gal. The Gorguts video review. I just go like, two thumbs up, great Gorguts video. That's how everyone ends. Good stuff. Not enough skeletons. Thumb down.
It is the essence of Hammerfall, right?
I mean, it doesn't get any better than Hammerfall.
October 10th, 1994, Canadian thrash metal. I know you love it. Along with Sacrifice, Vovoid, and Razor, Annihilator. Kind of the fourth horseman of Canadian thrash metal. This is Annihilator's King of the Kill, which sounds like Canadian thrash metal. Right? And then it sounds basically perfect. Speaking of basically perfect, October 11th, 1985, Creator's first album, Endless Pain. Blacker, I guess, than most other Creator albums. Like, you can really kind of hear some of the black metal influence in this, which they kind of play with over the years. Obviously, these guys love the devil and so forth, things of that nature. But this is the one where it's mostly like, wow, this is...
Yeah,
you can hear it. Sounds just like Bathory, basically. God, I love Creator so much. Okay. Speaking of black metal, our man, Nurgle, and his band Behemoth released the album Demigod, October 11, 2004. I'm playing the track Demigod of Demigod. There's a kind of like a... the only Behemoth song ever to be featured in Guitar Hero or Rock Band 2, excuse me.
Was it DLC?
From this album. Yeah, DLC for the track Conquer All, which is shocking. Like, because I think you could do vocals in Rock Band, so who's doing that?
Well, yeah, like Abnormality was on there.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like I missed the whole, like, later era of Rock Band. Like, I feel like when it was like, oh, Dragon Force is on there, I'm like, that's weird. And then I was, like, done with guitar, plastic guitar games. And then I'll come back and be like, yeah, they had the whole Cannibal Corpse album on that last... I'm like, why? Speaking of Doom and Sludge, like we were before, or I guess Stoner with Cortez, we got Saint Vitus with Born Too Late, released October 12th, 1986. This is good. This is a good album. I'm going to skip forward because it's a lot of just, like... Yeah? You feeling it? Are you heavy? Feel like you're in the ocean?
It's something.
It's the heaviest song ever. It's recorded at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. It goes like this for like 9 minutes. It's pretty sick. Speaking of sick, October 13th, 1985, Helloween released the album Walls of Jericho. Are you going to go on the Jericho cruise with Norbit? I feel like he's going.
He's got a VIP pass. He's driving the boat.
He's the captain. He's the director of ceremonies. When Jericho comes out, he's like, we're going to sing some ABBA. And Norbit's like, you got it, Jericho. And he gets the crowd going. And then the crowd loves it, obviously, because Norbit's telling them to do it. Like, they're not upset. Like, if it was anyone else, they'd be like, come on.
Right.
But John asked him to do it, and they're like, I love this. This is exciting. It's a good time. I can't believe this is a Jericho cruise. I really can't understand the concept of it. I love Jericho.
I feel like I can believe that.
I can't. And I remember him as being like the cool anti-authority wrestler of the 90s. And now I'm like, oh no, I'm old. Like, he's just like doing cruises and singing his weird rock band. Matt, that's going to wrap it up for this week with one last hit, which is, because I love it so much. This week... In 86, AC/DC releases the live album If You Want Blood, You Got It, which is the greatest AC/DC song ever. And that'll do it for this week in Metal History.
All right, thank you. There's the input.
Wait, don't you need a background? Don't you need a background?
Oh, I have song? A background.
Hang on, I got it right here. Woo! I can't believe you don't like that song. It's sick. It's twisted.
All right, this the next 2 weeks
I'm
for metal shows
now.
That you can see.
I'm playing Hammerfall now, please.
Are you?
Please. See, I wouldn't lie to you.
Well, there we got dual Hammerfall going then. All right. You got two shows on tap today out of the Palladium.
Wow.
upstairs, you can see Terror, Harm's Way, Backtrack, Ear of the Knife, Candy, and Antagonize. And then downstairs, it's the Trivium Sin and the Sentence World Tour with Avatar, Light the Torch. Avatar and Light the Torch. By the way, it's Rock and Shock this weekend.
Oh.
So your boys in Twisted were there Friday night.
Yep. Did you see, speaking of our boys, speaking of Juggalos, Shaggy Two Dope tried to dropkick Fronters.
I saw that there was a feud.
He missed.
He actually tried to?
Yeah, like, no, on stage. There's a video. There's a crappy cell phone video or might even be concert video. It's like Fred Durst is out there just singing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see a fully clown makeuped up Shaggy Two Dope run and just like, no, the skinny one.
Was this in like 2001?
Who's the skinny one? Is it Violent J?
No, that's Shaggy.
Shaggy runs out on the stage. Okay.
The big fella.
He runs on stage and he misses him with the weakest dropkick of all time. I can't believe Vampiro taught him so poorly.
Well, Jericho would say, yeah, oh, really? That's what you get when Vampiro trains you.
That's what you get when Vampiro tells you how to wrestle.
Continuing tonight at the Midway Cafe, you can see the band we played to kick off the show, Cortez, with Red Mantis, Feed the Beast, and Bossa Nova. Tomorrow night at Ralph's, it's High Command and Forced, Immortal War and Death Defier. Tuesday at O'Brien's, it's Glacier, Coastlands, and I Was Awake and Gera. Next Saturday, the 20th, at Bright Music Hall, it's Revocation, Exhumed, Rivers of Nile, and Yautja. I love how that show's like Revocation's top build, where every other stop on that tour, it's like Exhumed and Rivers of Nile. Poor Richards, next Saturday. It is the Halloween Mad Massacre Volume 2 with An Unction and Braille, Concrete Ties, My Missing Half, Saneless, and Not Your Best Idea. At 13th Floor Music Lounge, Chained to the Bottom of the Ocean, Lord Almighty, Bog Haunter, and Whale Mist. Next Sunday, an alarm going off in the song.
Oh yeah, it's getting crazy. They're invading, they're trying to break the guy's girlfriend out of a facility of some kind.
Midway Cafe next Sunday, Watching It Burn, The Disquiets, Black Soul, Seraphim, and Blatch. O'Brien's Pub has Toby Driver, Inayona, and Hemlock. And at once, you can see Ken Mode, Birds in a Row, Bedtime Magic, and American Ethos. Monday, October 22nd at Middle East, Farewell to Frank, featuring Suffocation, Cattle Decapitation, Crisian, and Sorruption. Thursday, October 25th, at the Palladium, it is Clutch. It is the Book of Bad Decisions tour, and they are playing along with Seven Dust, Tyler Brandt, and The Shakedown.
Wow.
Bright Music Hall has Dying Fetus, Incantation, Gatekeeper, and Genocide Pact, and Ralph's. Starting next Thursday, the 25th, and running through Saturday, you can see Heavy Metal Halloween covers. And finally, Friday, October 26th, at the Midway Cafe, it's the Humanoid, Slim Jim and the Mad Cows, Made in New England. That's the Iron Maiden cover band, and Electric Street Queens. And the Middle East, it's Coven and Magic Circle. Get to do some witchcraft leading up to Halloween.
I'm going to watch the new Charmed.
Oh, yes.
I probably will. My mom like watched every single episode of Charmed, yeah. So I like walk into the house. And
did she watch the Rose McGowan years?
All of it. Yeah. She liked Rose McGowan. She thought she was a great addition to the show. I think she replaced the girl from Melrose Place, I think. Because there was like another one. Because it's like, I can't think of everybody. It's like all the stars. It's like all the lady stars of 90s sitcoms.
Alyssa Milano
came together.
And, why am I blanking on the famous Megan Doherty?
Yeah, Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty.
And then Rose McGowan. But there was like another lady, and I can't remember.
Whose name nobody can ever remember.
She's like the other lady in Destiny's Child. Matt, are you ready for Black Metal Song of the Week?
I am always ready.
Matt, are you prepared in your body for Black Metal Song of the Week? Are you prepared to accept the song that will be bestowed upon you?
I am. By the way, I might have a black metal related announcement at the end of the show.
That sounds interesting. This black metal song of the week is by
Holly Marie Combs.
Our boy, our boys, our ladies in Ghost Bath.
Ooh.
Off last year's album Star Mourner. This is Seraphic off of Star Mourner by Ghost Bath, black metal song of the week.
Now we're ready for Halloween. Got
Happy
the ghost
Halloween,
bath.
Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, love it.
So good.
So yes, that was Seraphic off of Star Mourner.
Great album.
Ghost bath. They were on our countdown.
On the countdown, rightfully so.
And
top 10 anime deaths. Ghost bath.
And we also kicked off early in the show. We played Cortez, the Firmament. Again, you can see those guys live tonight at the Midway Cafe.
Yeah.
All right. And now I tease that we would have the return of a certain segment, and
very exciting.
This is it.
Pull on that fence there, all right? And just squeal like a
pig. Yes. Yes.
Shut up.
Matt, you can sing along if you want.
I can't do it. Oh, I'm gonna throw up trying to do it.
Yes, it is the return.
Yes.
A one-off appearance of the
squeal of the week.
As I was getting caught up on all the new releases I had missed over the last 2 months or so, I came upon there's a new release from the band Benighted, our friends from France, and it's
French
one of these.
Pigs.
It's one of those things where we actually played them last year as a pig squeal of the week, but it's one of those things where they put out an album last year and they then follow up with an EP of like unreleased tracks from that session and remixes and live things or whatever else.
That's fun.
So it's one of those kind of deals.
Are French pigs thinner and rude? As opposed to American pigs, who are like large and powerful?
Yes. And they, this album is one of those confusing Bandcamp things where you're not exactly sure, but it released on October 12th, which was Friday night. And you can order it, get all sorts of good packages, and it has a cool cover. It's very exciting. So anyway, we're going to play some Benighted. This is going to be the title track off their release called Dogs Always Bite Harder Than Their Masters.
Hell yeah.
And it is the Pig Squeal of the Week here on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. If you want to call in, numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636, 781-350-3264. Call in.
Yes. Don't even say hello. Just
give
go.
Give us a pig squeal. Just skip the pleasantries and get right to it. All right, here you go. This is Benighted. Dogs Always Bite Harder Than Their Masters.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ugh. What nice a pig squeal.
It was great. That was Dogs Always Bite Harder Than Their Masters by Benighted.
We were hooting and hollering in here.
It was, yeah.
When we were getting ready for it to go up just, like a roller coaster.
It was just, yeah, exactly. Just seesaw conversation and waiting for it to hit you. Yeah, so there you go. That is that. And now we were going to talk more about getting into Halloween.
Yeah.
Shall we play the Halloween this month's Halloween song?
Yes, please.
All right. So I can't remember if it was the last show or the show before that. We talked about the band Ice Nine Kills.
We did.
The band that I infamously met in the Middle East one time after hours. But anyway, they put out an album. What's it called again? The Silver Scream. And it is an album of all songs and music that are inspired by horror movies, which is kind of what they've been doing anyway. But anyway.
It's kind of like what a lot of...
I mean, they literally had a song called Hell in the Hallways, which was about Carrie. And then they just decided to do a whole album like that.
What else?
So there's songs about The Crow. We played the one about Friday the 13th. There's a Nightmare on Elm Street one.
Pumpkinhead.
You know what? I have to check the full listing to see if Pumpkinhead's on there. That would be great. Because your favorite actor of all time is in that movie, right?
That is true. Right.
So let's go with, this is the song, since we have the new Halloween movie coming out. The song is called Stabbing in the Dark, and it is their take on the Halloween franchise and the perspective of Michael Myers.
Coming out soon.
So we...
Did you see the thing, speaking of Halloween, where it was like Fox News Twitter account was like, Jamie Lee Curtis is an anti-gun advocate despite using guns in her movie.
That doesn't surprise me.
People were like... there was a really good one, and it was like, you know, like Harrison Ford, human being, despite being a space smuggler in his movies. Like, what are we doing? We are literally the stupidest place.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Oh my God.
But
I don't know. I'm sorry. I was excited.
No,
I was gonna say Nicolas Cage, an actor, despite killing a bunch of demons in Mandy.
Yeah, we're also
still an actor.
Mandy's a great movie, but we were both saying how disappointed we were that how quickly he killed the pseudo-Cenobites.
I wish there was a movie about the Cenobite bikers and just them being scary as hell. Because they were weird. They were like, they called him with like a horn, like a demon horn or something.
Well, that's the thing. When they first got summoned, I was like, well, these are Cenobites. But then it's like, oh no, they're just bikers.
Then the guy from, I can't think of his name.
From
the guy,
Doom.
The Predator guy.
Right.
The Predator guy was like, yep, just did a bunch of bad
LSD. Which is actually kind of funny because he is in Doom with the chemist, the guy who's the chemist who made the LSD. So
anyway, Doom.
We are now rambling. But anyway, yes. Here we go. Ice Nine Kills, Stabbing in the Dark on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live at WMFO.org.
Captivated by the violence I replay 15 years ago today. Oh, an evil evolution will bring a feeble institution to its knees. Oh, doctor, can't you see that when the hands of fate form the midnight hour behind this man, on the devil's power.
These are the devils!
Where the
Rangers. Shoot to kill. I repeat, shoot to kill. Over.
I am a shadow.
There you go. Now we're ready for Halloween.
I'm
officially
ready. Even though we're saying like Halloween of the big franchise monsters, I still think we both go Jason top, Freddy, I guess, Pinhead, or Hellraiser.
I go Hellraiser number two.
Number two behind Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, Hellraiser is like one of those movie franchises where like the first two are so good. The third one is good in that it's like schlock mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what the 4 through 7 are.
Have you not seen them?
Well, seen 1, 2, and 3.
The fourth one, I always say this, but the fourth one is amazing because it's Hellraiser in space, but it's so good.
Okay.
It's like actually a good in space
movie. Is the fourth one like where they start in oldie time days and then go all the way to the future?
Because it's like the origin story of the box.
And the puzzle box
like not, yeah,
is a space station?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He makes a giant, and that's like the kind of the reveal at the end is that he had built this because Pinhead shows up.
Trap,
and then
yeah.
The space station is a box trap.
Okay.
So it's like, it's cool too because they can always be like, this is the last movie in the series of the mythology of all time, and they could just make, because it takes place in like, I don't know, 2300 or whatever.
Yeah.
So they can make as many movies as they want before that.
Just like Tokyo Drift.
Exactly. And the fifth and sixth are like, fifth one's awesome. It's Inferno.
What is Henry Cavill
in? Sixth one is, I don't know, is he?
Superman.
I think he's in the sixth one as like Kirstie's husband. Kirstie. It's essentially the fifth storyline again with Kirstie in it.
Wow.
And then the seventh one is really weird. It's Carrie Woor of Command and Conquer Red Alert fame.
Of course.
She goes to investigate like a rumored suicide cult in Bulgaria or something. I don't know. Somewhere
scary
in
stuff.
Europe.
Yeah.
That's a very weird one.
I just like that
your boy shows up for number 8, which is Brutal Hellworld, which is like, oh,
Hellworld?
It's the 2000 now. Let's do like a virtual digital one, internet based Pinhead. And Lance Fredrickson.
Lance Henderson,
sorry. And then ninth.
He looks like a skeleton.
The ninth one, I don't think I'm forgetting any, but the ninth one is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Is it found footage?
It's not found footage, but there's a really disturbing. So it's not even like an incest thing going on. It's kind of an incest thing going on, but it's like, it's not what you. So, like, have you seen Crimson. What's it called? The Del Toro movie that came in a couple of years. Crimson Peak.
No.
Or like there's movies like that that have like kind of a weird, gross incest thing going on that's like explains things or whatever.
Sure.
This is, it's like a different, it's a different thing. I don't know. You have to see it, but it's so bad. It's the first time having not Mr. Bradley as Pinhead.
Oh, no.
And it was, it's a disaster.
Well, Doug's getting pudgy, I remember, because he's old, and so you can't have.
Well, this guy's pudgier than him.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's bad. And then Doug. They came out with another new one. Just this year, which is shockingly good.
Really?
Yes.
I'll check it out.
Because like the guy who directed it is like a real fan of the franchise and like.
Okay. Because there's a lot to be done with it. Because it's, to me, it's still unclear whether they work for the devil. Right? Or they're just like doing their own show. Who do they wear? Are you showing me some sort of Hellraiser T-shirt? Oh, Baryon. But do you know what I'm saying? Do they work? Are they
angel,
like hell's
angel
minions?
To some, demons to others.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well, you got to read the books.
Thanks. Anyway, you're going to say you saw Mandy.
But yeah, we just launched into a Hellraiser tangent, but Mandy. And now we've both seen Devil's Candy.
Devil's Candy was excellent. My first takeaway always was Ethan Embry is just shredded as hell. Basically a movie about a family moves to a house where there was like a murder, suicide. And it turns out that the former people who lived in the house, the guy is possessed. Well, he's either possessed or just like...
You don't know if he's actually hearing the devil's voice.
If he's hearing the voice of the devil and he's trying to like play the voice out of his head by playing music loud, and then he kind of stalks the house and he's like kidnapping kids to feed them to the devil. Very scary, very scary portrayal by that actor whose name I can't think of. Kind of a pudgy guy, but real good. Good soundtrack, good setup, good ending, because I was very nervous they were going to go for the like just grim, depressing ending happens off screen, all the heroes lose.
Yeah, they set you up for a very downer.
And I was like, come on, Ethan Embry, you got to do a setup out of this one. And then he did, of course. And then the ending is incredible because he hits a man with a guitar by jumping through flames. So that's the way I would have ended it. So I was happy. I was like, well, if I wrote it, this is how it would have ended. A man jumped through fire, hit someone with a guitar in the head. And that's exactly what happened.
It is amazing how an ending like that can change the perception, because basically the scene, and obviously this is all like spoilers and stuff,
sure,
but when they're in the house and he shows up and runs the cops over,
yeah,
I'm like, I can't like this movie.
I'm like, come on.
The whole family's gonna die and I'm gonna hate this movie because it's a pointless.
Shot Ethan Embry in like the lung.
Shoot, the wife gets attacked.
The wife gets shot, I think. She's like crawling. The bad guy steals the, you know, kidnaps, grabs the daughter.
At one point the daughter was like tied up in some random bathroom,
but it's like upstairs, so, and you're just focused on Nick Papagiorgio just lying in the hallway, and I'm like, that's how they're gonna end it. It's gonna end with like gunshot noise upstairs, and then you're just like looking at Ethan Embry, end of movie. Do you know, like, I'm like, that would suck, but I feel like that would get them more acclaim. Great Twitter user, I think you pronounce it Bakoon or Bacon, yeah, the dog.
Yep.
Is like a big, it's a sentient dog, and he or she was talking last night on Twitter about how people who don't watch horror movies think a horror movie is good if the ending is really depressing, and that you could have a horror movie where the ending is victorious and happy and it's still a good horror movie, but the mainstream audience like really is like, no, it has to be grim and over.
See, I think it's actually the opposite, because
For genre fans, I'm saying. Not saying for, like, films that are trying to, quote-unquote, say something or do something.
Wait, you're saying the mainstream audience prefers a darker movie?
Yeah.
A darker ending.
I'm not saying the mainstream audience prefers it. I'm saying, critically, it would get more acclaim.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From the snooty...
Yeah.
The snooty,
I thought you were
critic.
Saying... Because there's movies that have... I know that, I believe... The Descent was one. There's other movies that they showed the original ending and the test audience is all sad and they have to change it.
The audience is sad, but like the critics were like, genius.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, not necessarily.
Look at Martyrs.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, not necessarily, right? It's not necessarily better because the ending is sad.
Yeah. And then, what was the, I think that's, so we covered Mandy, we covered
Devil's Candy.
Devil's Candy. Saw Marrowbone last night.
Yeah,
how's that? Solid movie.
Where's that on?
DVD, Netflix.
All right. What's the...
There was one movie, again, the question... It's like we talk about wrestling, where 80% of wrestling is crap, but sometimes it's worth it for that good 20%, yes, or maybe the good 5%.
True.
Terrifier is on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's just really kind of pointless. So you watch it, and it's like...
What's
just a bunch of gore, and it's bad.
What's the description of it?
The creepy clown, the black and white clown.
Okay. Just spooking on people?
Yeah.
All right, I don't like that. I'm not scared of clowns either. I don't know where that came from. People are like, oh, I'm so scared of clowns. It's like, maybe, did you ever think you were a coward? Did you ever have that thought? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, plenty more to see. Got Halloween
movies
coming out.
I want to see Bone Tomahawk. That's the next one I've missed over the last several years.
You slowly but surely get caught up.
Yeah,
actually, I haven't seen that yet either, but anyway. So we will leave you with a band that you can see this week as well, tomorrow night. That's Monday the 15th. It's so weird doing a show on Sundays now and readjusting to the concert calendar and like what days are what. But anyway, at Ralph's out in Worcester, you can see High Command. And they're playing with Enforced, Immortal War, and Death Defier. Going to play you a song by High Command. It's their latest that came out in January. It's called the Primordial Void, and you are listening it to close out Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks to, we got one more show before Halloween, so we will see you then. Until then, stay brutal, and stay tuned to WMFO, next show at the top of the hour.
Stay spoopy, guys. Ooh. Stay spoopy out there.
No.